6 minutes after 12. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us on the Xolani Gwala Show on Radio 702 and Cape Talk. I'm with you until 1 p.m. My name is Clement Manyatela, in for XG this afternoon. Let me tell you what's coming up between now and 1 p.m. Now, mining union AMCU has just announced, in fact, about 30 or 40 minutes ago, a secondary strike action in the coal and platinum sectors. They are also calling for investors to pull out of Sibanye Stillwater mine. We'll also speak to one of the people that chaired the grievance panel that cleared Pulemabe of sexual harassment. And then, still on the ANC, we speak to former Vembe Mayor Florence Radzilani. Remember her? The one who allegedly received 300,000 rand as a Christmas gift from VBS directors. Well, she says she has done nothing wrong. In fact, she thinks there's a political vendetta against her. Now, in the second half hour of the show, we take a look at Bosasa. We focus on the potential job losses. We also go to Parliament and hear what the Justice Committee has had to say regarding that inquiry into the public protector's fitness to hold office. And then we'll also give you an update on what's happened at State Capture. And I see that the Communications Portfolio Committee in Parliament is now speaking and hearing the issue around board, new board members for the SABC, and it seems like they've received about 233 nominations. That's what's happening in Parliament right now. I'm interested to hear your views, so please join the conversation on SMS. We're on 31702 31567 in Cape Town. Our telephone lines will be open throughout the show on 011-883-0702 and in Cape Town 021-446-0507. You can also WhatsApp us if that's what you prefer on 072-702-1702. On Twitter, you find us at Radio 702 at Cape Talk. My Twitter handle is at The Real Clement M. So mining union AMCU calling there for a secondary strike action in the coal and platinum sectors. This comes after mining company Sibanye Stillwater announced plans to shed at least 6,000 jobs last week as part of its restructuring plan. And in fact, we'll be analyzing this story further during the course of the show. But this could be devastating, hey? Because AMCU represents the majority of platinum and about half of, you know, the coal mine workers. So the effect of the strike could definitely be effective. We're trying to get a hold of a mining analyst and we'll tell you of the impact, the possible impact of the strike as soon as we get this mining analyst. It's 8 minutes after 12. So the ANC has accepted recommendations of a grievance panel which has cleared the party's spokesperson Pulemabe of sexual harassment allegations that were lodged by his former personal assistant. Remember last year, Mabe took special leave after the former employee claimed he assaulted her on three different occasions and cut her salary when she spoke out. Now, we're going to speak to ANC NEC members Dumo Dlamini, who was chairing that grievance panel together with Thoko Didiza. And the ANC sending out a statement yesterday and saying that they've decided to accept the recommendations of this grievance panel. And this panel had found that there was no sufficient evidence to support the claims by Pulemabe's former personal assistant that, in fact, she was sexually harassed on three separate occasions. So we'll be unpacking that with ANC NEC members Dumo Dlamini. He was one of the people that chaired that commission. And as I told you earlier on, the ANC's Limpopo Peter Mokaba region wants its leaders accused of benefiting from the VBS scandal to be reinstated. And that includes Florence Radzilani. And she will be joining us on the line because she's the former mayor of Vembe municipality. And that's the municipality that deposited around 300 million rand into VBS. And remember the allegations that came. In fact, the Great Bank Heist report coming out and finding that, you know, they've looked at the cell phone records, they've looked at some of the WhatsApp messages that was an interaction between some of these political principals and directors at VBS. And they actually found that, according to that report, that Radzilani was one of the people that actually received some money from these directors, 300,000 rand. That's the amount of money that's mentioned in the Great Bank Heist report. What do you make of what she seems to be saying now, that she has done nothing wrong. And we'll be speaking to her now on the Xolani Gwala show to hear what her views are regarding this particular issue. So we're trying to get a hold of Sdumo Dlamini. We're going to take a quick ad break, and when we come back, we'll have this conversation around how they were able to find that there was no evidence on the grievance panel. In fact, my producer is giving me an indication that he's managed to get a hold of him. Remember, he was one of the chairs of this grievance panel, which cleared Pule Mabe of these sexual harassment allegations. Let's say good afternoon to the ANC NEC members, Sdumo Dlamini. Good afternoon, Mr. Dlamini. Thank you so much for coming through.
No, thanks very much, Puti, and thank you for having us on your radio station.
Yeah, so the understanding that I have from the statement that the ANC sent out yesterday is that you didn't find evidence supporting the sexual harassment claims by Pule Mabe's former personal assistant. How did you resolve on this?
Remember, you get evidence out of submissions and statements that are made and people collaborating their statements. It was the conclusion of the panel that after listening to evidence brought forward, there was nothing to corroborate anything sexual harassment in the matter. And the complainant had an ample opportunity to do that, to bring in witnesses, to show evidence of such, and cross-examine those who were brought in by the respondent. We allowed all that, and indeed we came to that conclusion that there was no evidence of sexual harassment.
Mm. And what about the claims then by the accuser that Mabe visited her hotel bedroom late at night and sat on her bed? Were you able to determine if this was indeed the case?
We heard about that, and it had to be corroborated. Fact is, there was no evidence of the two being in one room together with no other person. On all the occasions, there were other people in the room, and nothing like sexual harassment would have happened at the time. The complainant did not show any evidence of the two being together alone in any of those rooms we spoke about.
Mm, but what evidence would she have shown to prove that they were together in the room?
Yes, it would be her saying that, and I can tell you she didn't say that in the hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She didn't say what in the hearing?
She did not say they were ever alone, two of them in any room to corroborate the case of sexual harassment.
Okay. So how did the panel, the grievance panel then, get to this resolution that the privacy of staff and the manager's bedrooms must be respected? In fact, you go on to say that where meetings are to be held or work to be done, arrangements should be made for such to take place in a meeting room or a public space. So in that instance then, do you agree, and did you find that there was in fact a meeting in one of her hotel bedrooms with Pule Mabe and another ANC comrade?
It's common fact that the room was used for work of the ANC. And that's what we are saying, that you should never, ever take work of the organization into private rooms, no matter what the circumstances are.
Especially in the late hours, because as I understand it...
It doesn't matter whether it's late hours or normal hours, don't do ANC work in a private room. Mm,
and in this particular instance, it was very late hours. Then, in that case then, I mean, clearly that wasn't appropriate for any political principle to...
Why are you repeating late hours? There was nothing like late hours in what was brought to our attention.
In the panel. Okay, because I'm basing this on the affidavit that she had disposed of. In fact, the statement that she had written to the Secretary, Deputy Secretary General Jesse Duarte, saying that it was late that night when Pule Mabe came to finish off his homework. So you say this wasn't her submission during the panel?
A statement or affidavit is such that it's an affidavit before it is put in a process. And when you present that in a process, it is interrogated, it is cross-examined, then you come to the conclusion whether this is true or false.
And in this case, you are saying it was probably false?
I'm saying there was no occasion proven of sexual harassment or even a point of saying the two were left alone in the room or any room. Yeah.
And was there some kind of admission, though, that this was inappropriate? The fact that Pule Mabe was there with another political principal in the room discussing what Pule Mabe insists was ANC work?
Precisely the point we made as a panel, that never, ever, and never again should any body staff of the ANC, leader of the ANC, do ANC work in a private room.
But what was his explanation for doing that?
Pule Mabe considered quite early during the mediation process that that would have been an error of judgment to do ANC work in a room.
But do you
that was cleared very, very early in the hearing.
Yeah, but do you then accept that that error of judgment then left the accuser, as she claims, feeling vulnerable and feeling uncomfortable, because these are the political principles? She says she had just started working for the ANC, didn't even have a contract, in her personal private space, like a bedroom. So do you then understand when she says she felt very compromised and uncomfortable?
Precisely. We took that point from her, which is why, as the panel, we concluded, we have recommended, we have said it quite categorically clear, never and never take ANC work into a private room, whether the two of you or a group of comrades, don't do that.
And you felt that her feeling that so compromised and uncomfortable doesn't warrant for there to be consequences on the part of Pule Mabe, who decided that work must go to the bedroom?
Look, Manyatela, we're dealing here with an allegation or accusation of sexual harassment. But in the course of dealing with that, we had to take note of the other things, and there are many, including that you cannot employ somebody whose qualifications they don't exist or you don't know. Don't do that unless you are clear you're employing somebody with no qualifications on a specific job.
Mm.
So we picked up a range of issues which were to deal with that one of use of private rooms for work of the ANC. No.
And we're going to get to the salary cut, but what I'm asking, Mr. Dlamini, is, as an error of judgment, this woman says to the panel that she has felt uncomfortable. She felt compromised because these are two political principals coming into her private space. And I'm saying, on that basis, do you not think that there must be consequences on the part of Pule Mabe for having made that error of judgment and for having made his former PA to feel the way she felt, compromised and vulnerable?
In a grievance hearing, you deal with issues presented. And if you are lucky to pick other issues that were not part of the presentation, you deal with them. And we dealt with all the issues, including people that must think it is correct to do work in a private hotel room of another colleague. So I've dealt with that matter.
And just lastly, Mr. Dlamini, we're running out of time, but in terms of, you know, whether she'll return to work or not, is there an appeal process that she can initiate in the ANC following this process?
Yes, there's a procedure. Now that the process was concluded internally, if she's not satisfied, the CCMA would be the next course of approach.
And you haven't decided yet in which department?
And all we've... for instance, if people were talking about a criminal action police, which is what we're told, this matter has been taken to police before the hearing was concluded.
And you haven't decided yet in which department she'll be moved to and whether or not she'll continue as the PA of this man that she's accused of sexual harassment.
That becomes a discussion between HR and the employee of the ANC. As the panel, we have recommended what needs to be done, and that process, I believe, is unfolding.
All right. Look, thank you so much for your time. ANC NEC members Dumo Dlamini. He was also one of the chairs of this grievance panel that was hearing the sexual harassment case against Pule Mabe. All right, let's look at the story now at 21 minutes after 12. The ANC's Limpopo Peter Mokaba region wants its leaders accused of benefiting from the VBS scandal to be reinstated. Now, the region has already written to the ANC Limpopo headquarters calling for provincial deputy chairperson Florence Radzilani and treasurer Denim Caesar to be reinstated into their positions. On the line, we're joined by Radzilani, who is the former mayor of the Vembe municipality. Remember, that's a municipality that deposited 300 million rand into VBS. The ANC instructed her and other mayors implicated in the scandal to step down. Good afternoon to you, Ms. Radzilani. Thank you so much for coming through.
Good afternoon to you and all the listeners. Mm.
You still maintain that you've done nothing wrong. Why are you convinced that this whole thing was politically motivated?
I never said this thing was politically motivated. Oh, I want to put it on record.
Yeah, so yeah, just clarify that, because I was looking at an article by News 24 that, in fact, you say that there are people that wanted you to be the next leader of the ANC in that province and even premier.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to clarify.
Yeah.
Of course, I had the interview with News 24. I don't remember in that interview when I said the matter is politically motivated, there are people who are behind this. I don't want to raise issues when I don't have evidence. And one other thing which is clear for me, since I became the member of the ANC, you don't deploy yourself to any position in the ANC. It's the only ANC that decides where its members are supposed to be deployed.
Yeah.
I can't come out and say people want me to be a premier. And I never said that statement. It's the matter which I'm working on it for now.
Yeah.
Because I feel I was misrepresented.
Okay, let's speak then about VBS and the allegations against you. Do you maintain that you're innocent? And how do you maintain that, Ms. Radzilani, when you have the great bank heist report revealing that the municipality you were the mayor of invested 300 million rand into the bank illegally?
I still maintain that I've got nothing to do with VBS on the basis of the following reasons. The matter which is there in the Advocate Terim Taus report, where I'm implicated, is the conversation between two people, the WhatsApp which was exchanged between the two people, and my name, my phone was never requested to check if indeed I ever had the conversation with the two people mentioned in the report.
Mm.
One other thing which I think I still maintain that even the investigators, for them to afford me the opportunity to be heard, it never happened. But I was surprised when I was going through that report, especially part number 88, where Advocate Terim Taus, after looking at the WhatsApp of the two people, he said in his own view, one of the illuminating rampant corruption is found in that WhatsApp. I don't know what made him to conclude that. Hence, now I cannot even go in detail because the matter is before court.
Okay.
Where I want Advocate Terim Taus to prove, and also those who exchange the WhatsApp, whether they had the relationship with me.
Okay, and Ms. Radzilani, I just want us then, I get...
Let me give the last reason.
Okay, just quickly, because there are other issues that we have to explore.
Report, the Provincial Forensic Investigation Report, where I'm exonerated, 10 people were interviewed from the municipality, and I was never found to be involved on issues of VBA.
Okay.
Hence, I'm still maintaining my innocence.
Okay, Ms. Radzilani, let's look at what's factual then. So it is factual that the municipality you are the mayor of invested 300 million rand into the bank. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So why can't you take responsibility now? Because you were the political principal of that municipality, and that municipality illegally invested 300 million rand. And I accept that you would say you were not the accounting officer, you didn't sign up on this, but you have a responsibility to oversee the municipality and make sure that there's no criminality also that happens.
You see, one other thing which I want to challenge media. I'm talking about the Provincial Forensic Investigation Report, which all of you as media people, you are not even interested. Because that's where you are going to find the information of what happened when officials were investing money with VBS. The municipality started to invest money with VBS before I became the executive mayor. There were officials who were seconded by the provincial government from the provincial treasurer.
Yeah.
And these people started to invest money way before I became the executive mayor.
So when you became the executive mayor, were you also not aware of this?
Let me indicate to you that when we came in as the new administration, we adopted policies of the previous council. Vembe had the investment policy. That investment policy, if a document is there in terms of who is responsible with investment, how investment are supposed to be managed, the CFO in consultation with the accounting officer is mandated by council to invest money with banks. And it cannot be up to me as the executive mayor to say, I must account. You have officials, well-qualified officials, who have the necessary skills, their role is to advise council as well as the executive mayor. But if you can do yourself a favor and go to the provincial government and request for that forensic investigation report, I think you will be clarified on number of issues.
So, Ms. Radzilani, so you're saying that when you became the executive mayor of this municipality, you were not aware that there was so many millions of rands of taxpayers being illegally invested into VBS. That's what you're saying. So you left all of that into the accounting officers.
I was not even aware, particularly because when you check in terms of the investment, there were people who were given the responsibility by council.
But isn't that problematic then? Ms. Radzilani, that as the executive mayor, you don't concern yourself with the accounts of the municipality? I mean, I imagine you also oversee the municipality, so you can't leave all the investments, especially when we speak about 300 million rand, leave it all to be approved by the accounting officers without you playing a role in also overseeing. Because if you oversee, you would have detected that they are illegally investing money into VBS, and you would have acted swiftly to stop that.
You are very much correct to say I was supposed to have played the oversight role, including the council itself.
So you failed to play the oversight role.
Just give me the opportunity to respond to your question. As the executive mayor, I receive monthly report called the Section 71 report. This report will go to council as well as to the provincial treasury every month. And in terms of the compilation of that report, when officials report, they won't give you the names of the banks. Let's say we go for budget process. We say return.
Ms. Razilani, I really apologize. I understand that you want to give us the details of how budgets are approved and the necessities that happen at the provincial legislature, but we're running out of time. But I needed you to then confirm this to me. If you say you understand that you failed to play your oversight role, do you then accept that you must also be held to account? Then you mustn't complain when the ANC says step down, because as part of your responsibilities, you failed to fulfill one of those responsibilities in playing an effective oversight role over the municipality of Vembe.
Let me repeat myself. I'm advising you to approach the provincial government and have that forensic investigation report. It will give you the details.
Okay. Florence Razilani, the ex-executive mayor of Vembe District. Thank you so much for your time. Look, what do you make of this? I'm happy to take your calls on this, on what Ms. Razilani is saying there. I mean, she says she understands that she may have failed in her oversight responsibility. Then why must she still be mayor? Why is she complaining that the ANC asked her to step down if she admits and concedes that she failed in her responsibilities as mayor? Please give me a call on SMS 31702, Cape Town 31567. It's 12:30. It's going up to 20 minutes before 1 o'clock. Listen, I'm getting so much of your reaction on SMS, on WhatsApp lines, and I've been receiving some of your calls, and on Twitter as well, reacting to that in conversation with the former deputy chairperson of the ANC in Limpopo, Florence Razilani. Some of you also reacting to Zdumo Dlamini. He was the chair of the grievance panel that cleared Pule Mabe of sexual assault allegations. I'll be reading some of those SMSs and WhatsApp messages soon. But let's look at this now. Mining Union AMCU calling for that secondary strike action in the coal and platinum sectors. This comes after mining company Sibanye Stillwater announced plans to shed at least 6,000 jobs last week as part of its restructuring plan. Let's now speak to Ed Stottard, who is the contributor for Mining MAGS. Ed, thank you so much for your time. I mean, AMCU calling for other sectors now to come and join in the strike. What are the possible devastating consequences in terms of our economy?
Yeah, hi, thank you. It's interesting, Clement. I mean, if AMCU members were to heed Joseph's call and embark on a wider strike in the platinum and coal sectors, at a time against the backdrop of load shedding and all the other challenges facing the South African economy, it obviously wouldn't be good. It follows a pattern, an AMCU pattern of calling such strikes to challenge companies over plans to retrench workers. Although I don't really know among the rank and file how much support there would be for it.
Yeah, look, I mean, they represent the majority of platinum and about half of the coal mine workers. So you can already imagine the impact of this strike, not only on those mining companies, but the entire sector and the economy. Let's speak a little bit about the kind of consultations happening at Sibanye Stillwater. I mean, AMCU announcing this and saying that they will be putting in a notice. Are there still hopes that during these negotiation processes, they could be a resolution that is found where Sibanye says we'll look at other ways to restructure the company that won't necessarily affect job losses?
Well, that's possible. I mean, the job losses are not set in stone. Sibanye has said it could be up to over 6,000. This has been flagged to unions a few weeks ago, actually, on what they call future forum discussions. And I broke the story last week from Mining MX that they were looking at this and discussing it with unions. They do say it's not set in stone. They might find ways to mitigate it. But it does also come against the backdrop, of course, of AMCU's gold wage strike against Sibanye, and also escalating violence and tensions on the West Rand related to that.
This could really be devastating. I mean, they're also calling for investors to pull out of Sibanye and calling for disinvestment on that part. But if there's no investment, there are no jobs. So it really becomes a complicated one. But look, thank you so much for your time. Ed Stortard is a contributor for Mining MX. 15 minutes before 1 o'clock, you're with the Xolani Gwala Show on Radio 702 and Cape Talk. Now, remember in December, Parliament's Portfolio Committee on Justice decided to hold off on an investigation into Public Protector Busisiwe Mkhwebane's fitness to hold office, leading the DA to accuse it of failing in its oversight duty. Now, that Justice Committee has been sitting today, and let's welcome DA Chief Whip John Steenhuisen. Thank you so much for your time, Mr. Steenhuisen. Have you heard anything from that committee, and what is it expected to deal with? Is it still dealing with that response from the Public Protector on why she should actually not leave office?
Good afternoon to you, Clement, and good afternoon to the listeners. It's great to be with you today. Well, I'm not sure exactly what the committee is deliberating on today, because they expressed themselves quite explicitly during the end of last year, and the fact that they were going to dismiss my complaint. So I imagine what's today is just a formalization of that. But obviously, as you said, and at the time, I regarded that as a dereliction of duty. I think that Parliament has failed in its duty not to conduct an inquiry into the fitness of the Public Protector to hold office. It's not saying she should be removed, but I think that Parliament should at the very least have a full and proper inquiry into the fitness to hold office, given the gravity of the findings of various courts against the Public Protector.
Mm. So where is that inquiry at now? So are they still waiting for that ruling on the Freede Dairy Farm in the Free State? Because there was an application to have Mkhwebane's report on that matter declared unconstitutional and set aside. And as I remember, they had wanted to see what the ruling could be before they could continue with that process.
Yeah. My understanding is that they were going to dismiss the application that we had made for the inquiry. And this relates to matters outside of the Freede Dairy case, actually. These were comments made by Judge Murphy and others in various judgments, which had essentially found the Public Protector failed in even the most basic duties and responsibilities, and had got the law, even the most basic principles, particularly of a separation of power, completely wrong. This had obviously called into question her competence and ability to perform the task. It related to, you may recall, her instruction to Parliament to amend the constitution to govern the Reserve Bank mandate.
All right. Look, thank you so much for that quick update. DA Chief Whip John Steenhuisen. So yesterday, BOSASA warning that its decision to file for voluntary liquidation could result in more than 4,000 employees losing their jobs. The company, now known as African Global Operations, has been informed that all banks will close its accounts. BOSASA former executives have told the State Capture Commission how the company paid millions of rands to government officials to secure lucrative contacts with the state. Let's now focus on the possibility that there could be over 4,000 job losses and speak to Moses Sifala, who is the national organizer at SAPU. Thank you so much for your time, Moses. I mean, you represent workers that work for BOSASA. Have you been able to have meetings with management around how they will manage this process of filing for liquidation and these potential job losses?
Yeah, no, thank you, Clement. Let me first start by greeting our listeners out there. Clement, back to your question. What transpired is that yesterday we went to BOSASA head offices at Lindela, at number one Windsor Road, representing members from Lindela Repatriation Center. So we have just submitted a memorandum when SAPS received a message from our offices that the company has just forwarded the document to our union regarding voluntary liquidation by management. And then, yes, we were very, very shocked because we were hoping to have an amicable resolution to the demands that were just submitted.
So what are you going to do now? Are you going to continue engaging with management for other possible options? I mean, I know other parties like the EFF are calling on government to absorb some of these workers that will lose their jobs as a result of this company coming down.
Yes, what we have just done now is that we have requested an urgent meeting with management of BOSASA to get a full clarity on the matter before we can engage them further on the matter, because what we only have now is just a letter without further explanation as to what are the details that led management to come to this decision. So we have requested an urgent meeting with the management of USASA. Yes, and then we're hoping to meet them very soon. And after that is done, that we'll be knowing exactly what our position is on the matter.
All right. Look, thank you for that quick update. Moses Sifala is the national organizer of SAPU. It's 10 minutes before 1 o'clock. All right, 7 minutes before 1 o'clock. This is the Xolani Gwala Show on Radio 702 and Cape Talk. So, a number of conversations we've had on the show today. We've spoken to Zdumo Dlamini, who is speaking on behalf of the grievance panel that chaired and cleared, in fact, the ANC spokesperson Pule Mabi of allegations of sexual harassment. So, he has spoken to us, and I see most of you are reacting to that conversation. And then we also spoke to Florence Radzilani, who came on and still insists that she is innocent. And I thought she did admit that she understands when I say that perhaps she failed in her oversight, in her oversight responsibilities as the executive mayor. So I'm taking your calls now, 011-883-0702 in Cape Town, 021-446-0567. But also reading some of your WhatsApp messages, the text messages, SMSs that you're also sending on 31702 and 31567. Someone says, so, Clement, you asked so many questions, and no matter how valid they might have been, it almost feels like you did not really give the lady enough time to answer. Look, I think I did. Also, we don't have the whole hour to discuss an issue around VBS. So most of the things that she was explaining, we already know. And I had already reflected some of them in the intro into the story that we were doing with her. So I felt I actually gave her a fair amount of time. Unfortunately, I can't allow her to give us context for 10 minutes or 5 minutes for that matter, because I only have about 4 minutes to have that discussion with her. Someone else says, hi, Clement, what can you really expect from this man called Zdumo Dlamini, who killed a big organization like COSATU? I mean, that's someone there reacting to the former COSATU president, Zdumo Dlamini, who was chairing that grievance panel that cleared Pule Mabi of those allegations of sexual harassment. Let's now go to the lines. Livingston is in Centurion. Livingston, thank you so much for your time. What's your comment?
How are you, Clement?
Great, man. What's your comment?
Fine. No. Rosalind is lying. You see this thing of CBS there in Bembe district, it has gone too far. Remember, there are also lives that have been lost there, man. You know, those are ANC hyenas who want to cling on power, and they are busy scavenging the public purse. She is lying. She must take that responsibility. You were asking her direct questions, and she didn't want to give you direct answers. She wanted to prolong the whole discussion, fully knowing that your show has got few minutes to run on air.
Look, Livingston, thank you so much for that comment. Let's go to Tsepo in Queenswood. Tsepo, what's your comment?
Yes, hi, good afternoon, sir. Look, Clement, to some certain extent, I do agree, not wholly agreeing with the executive or the former executive mayor.
Yeah.
But I'm saying let's not cast aspersions, especially when the matter is before the court. You know, a report that has been crafted by Advocate Terry Motau, it does not mean that she's guilty. The matter, once it's been ventilated in a court of law, you know, the court would come with a total different outcome. So to some certain extent, she indicated that she came there at the municipality, and at the time when she came in, there was already a decision that has been taken by the previous administrator to investigate the money with the VBS. So I'm saying that let's give an opportunity to test the report of Advocate Motau at the court level, and once the court has found her guilty, then it's still completely different. But let's not just before the matter is ventilated at that level.
But Tsepo, does that mean that in the interim we can't hold her to account? Because as I understand it, she has issues with the fact that she's been asked to step down because she's innocent. And I'm saying here's a municipality that has cost, that has invested 300 million rand. And as a result, municipalities and service delivery have been affected in Limpopo. And I'm saying, as the executive mayor, surely there was a responsibility of your part to exercise oversight on this municipality. And if you failed to even see that there was so much money leaving your municipality as the executive mayor, that's problematic for me.
No, Clement, I do accept that as a head of any institution, right, you ought to take the responsibility, especially if the allegations are placed before you. But at the same token, and that is my argument, I'm saying that once the matter is before the courts, let's allow that process, right, to be tested.
All right, Tsepo. Yeah, look, Tsepo, I'm sorry we've run out of time, but thank you so much for your time. I just want to take the last quick one from Simon in Cape Town. Simon, you want to respond to Zdumo Dlamini's interview. Good afternoon.
Yes, I was extremely disappointed with it. I think it almost amounted to a 12-minute interview. And we went round and round the houses with him saying exactly the same thing all the time, that the ANC doesn't believe in having meetings outside of a meeting room at private homes.
Mm.
But no, not once did he say they'd investigated the fact that Mabe was supposed to be at this lady's house in her bedroom, and he didn't even mention that at all.
All right. Simon, thank you so much for your time. Unfortunately, we're out of time.